welcome to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we continue our series, LOL, with part 7. Here's Pastor Ray.
Spiritually, that runner's high, coming from running and enduring in and finishing the most important race of all, far more important than just getting out and running in a local race or a marathon or just running to stay fit, the most important race of all in life, and that is the joy of leaning into the tape to get the prize at the finish line of the Christian life, the most important race of all. And Paul, the master athlete, I think he was either a master athlete or he was a huge sports fan, because when you read his epistles, he talks about boxing. Did you know that? He talks about wrestling, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. He talks about running. He talks prophetically about the Denver Broncos winning the Super Bowl this year. I know one of those isn't true. You can decide which one. Paul the athlete gives 4 training tips in this text today that will help us to run strong and finish well. So we're going to start, and just like we did last week, verse by verse, work our way through this. And so we're going to start in verse 12, and this is what he says. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. Now, let me pause there and say, as we did last week, that he's not speaking about salvation here. He's already got that. And if you have received Jesus personally into your heart as Lord and Savior, you already have salvation. It's yours by grace through faith. You're saved. You can't get any more saved. When you got Jesus, you got salvation. And you're not going to get more saved. You're saved, right? And he's not talking about heaven. We've already got that as well. That's our destiny. That's our destination. So he's not talking about either salvation or heaven. That's already been guaranteed. But what he's talking about is going for the goal of our salvation, which is Christ-likeness. Remember back in verse 10, we talked about this last week, where it says to know Christ and to be made like him. That is the great goal of your salvation, of your Christian life. Not just to make heaven, not just to feel good about things, but it's to become more and more like Jesus. That's both the race and the finish line. That's both your race, and it's the finish line. The Apostle John talks about this. He says, we're already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him. Isn't that great? That when Jesus comes back, finally, fully, forever, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then Paul, in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and verse 29, let me read that one, says that God preordained to conform us. The Greek word is sumorphos. We get the word morph or transmorph out of that. That God's great design for us, he established this even before we were born. Even before the world got created, he established ahead of time that we would be morphed into the image of his son. And so if you go back to verse 28, Romans 8, 28, which we all know and love, he works all things for our good. Well, why is he working them for our good? So that we would be made like Jesus. What kind of things? The good things? Yeah. The bad things? Yeah. All things he works for our good, that we would be conformed to the image of his son. So we are saved, and we are going to heaven someday. But between now and then, we are to give maximum effort to Christ-likeness. That's our race. We are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Pastor Matt talked about this a few weeks ago. We don't work to get our salvation. We already have that. But what God has worked in, salvation, we now need to work out. We need to work it out so that we grow into the full experience of our salvation. God has worked in us, it says, that verse says. God has worked in us both to will and to do his good purposes, his good pleasure. So he's given us the will to, and he's given us the power to. to get more and more like Jesus as we move along the continuum of our faith. Verse 12 continues, but Paul says, "But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Press on means literally to run energetically and aggressively to attain something. It's that leaning into the tape. It's that I am not going to be denied the finish line here. I'm going for the goal. You see, Paul was not passive at all about his spiritual formation. I think some people think that Christian growth is just kind of a passive thing. We get saved, and then just over time, we're gonna grow as a Christian. We're going to look more and more like Jesus. Well, the Bible never says that we can just be passive about it. It expects us, again, as Pastor Matt talked about, we are to work out our salvation. We are to grow into Christ-likeness. We are to participate in our spiritual formation. In Paul's case, he was passionately pursuing, he says, what Jesus had run for. He says, "I press on to take hold of that which Jesus took hold of me for." I take hold of, the language there, I take hold of, Christ took hold of, is a reciprocal motivation. Christ's race, he did it for me, now motivates my race. I'm going to do this for him. And that's the key to what's motivating Paul here. Jesus' race, think about this, Jesus' race, when he came to earth, his earthly race cost him everything. It cost him his life. He left nothing on the track. He gave it all. All for Paul, all for you, all for me. Jesus paid it all. He gave it all. Which ought to stir us a little bit, right? It ought to motivate us a little bit as we run our race. He took hold of me for this. Now I'm going to take hold and press on and experience everything that I can in running my race. That kind of reminds me of something that happened in the 1968 Olympics in Mexico. It is the first Olympics that I remember as a kid. A lot of interesting things, great things happened in that Olympic. But one of the most unusual things happened in the marathon. In the marathon, the last place runner was from Tanzania. There, you see it up there. This guy is from Tanzania. And as he was running the race, he fell. And he broke his leg. And he kept on running. He kept on running. Long after the other runners had completed the race, the medals had been given, they had gone home, this guy kept on hobbling. And finally, at 7 p.m. at night, the stadium was practically empty. Only a small crowd was left. He entered the stadium. He was not going to be denied to do his final lap, his last lap of this 26.2-mile race. And the crowd gave him a standing ovation. Afterwards, he was interviewed, and someone asked him, how come you didn't quit? You were bloodied, you were bruised, you were discouraged. Why didn't you give up? And this is what he said. This is profound. He said, "My country didn't send me 7,000 miles around the world to start the race. They sent me to finish the race." Wow. So here is the first training tip that we take from Paul's teaching for running strong and finishing well. Don't forget for whom you're running. In your Christian race, you got to remember this. Don't forget who you're running for. You see, there's a country far more important than Tanzania that sent its runner. And he gave everything in his race. Jesus, the runner, the great runner, finished his race battered and broken and bloody. Why? So that other runners, verse 20 calls them citizens of heaven. That's you and that's me. So that other runners could run their race and finish to heaven's applause, because that's going to happen. We're going to finish the race at some point to the applause of heaven. So in light of what heaven has invested in this race, in light of what Jesus did in his race, Shouldn't we therefore run strong and finish well? Not just start it, but finish it? Shouldn't we be the most motivated people in the entire world in light of what Jesus has done for us? That's a good place for an amen, by the way. I know I lost you on the whole running thing. You're going like, yeah, I'm not in the running thing. So I want you to bookmark Philippians chapter 3, and then I'll ask you to open to Hebrews chapter 12. It's kind of a companion verse to what Paul's talking about here. Now, Paul didn't write the book of Hebrews. We don't know who did. That's the one book of the New Testament. We're not sure who the author was. It's way different than any of the other books, and it doesn't mention by name who wrote it. I suspect it was someone that was probably under the influence of Paul, maybe Apollos, maybe Barnabas. We don't know for sure, but here in chapter 12, 11, 12, and 13, it really says some things that are very Pauline in their teaching, in their nature. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, talks about this race that I've been describing. And it says this, consider Jesus. Now, the Greek word for consider, and the reason I throw out the Greek is because if you don't know, that the New Testament was originally written in what's called Koine Greek. And like any translation from one language to another, sometimes you maybe lose the strength or the nuance of language. I have a minor in New Testament Greek, so I can kind of bring these things out, not just to impress you, but to help you to understand the strength or the facets of some of these words. So the word consider is the word analogizomai. In other words, analyze. So what Paul is saying is analyze this. Analyze Jesus, give it some thought. Consider Jesus, who endured such opposition that you don't grow weary and lose heart. You know, when you're out running a race and you want to give up, or when you're just out running and you want to give up, sometimes it helps to be cheered on or to think about something else. It says, consider Jesus. He ran his race. He endured in his race. Think about that, and it will encourage you as well. Analyze this. Remember who you're running for. Remember the price he paid to pave your path. Verse 3. Verse 2, if you back up to it, says, so fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the goal. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He started it. He will finish it. He's the start. He's the finish. Who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Well, what do you suppose the joy was for Jesus? I think it was probably you and me. I think he saw by going to the cross and paying the price, he was probably looking through the passage of time forward and seeing people like you and me sitting in this service today going, I can do it for them. I will endure this for them. Who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, then sat down at the right hand of God's throne. That's why verse 1, we're kind of going in reverse order here. That's why verse 1 of Hebrews 12 says, therefore, let us run with perseverance or patience or endurance the race marked out for us. Friends, don't forget in this race for whom you are running. Don't forget who you're doing it for. So here's the second tip. Don't look back. Don't look back. Now, contrary to what I said, look back to Philippians 3. And I want you to look at verses 13 and 14. Paul says, I have not yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Now, the word forgetting and straining, kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum there, are interesting because they're compound Greek words, and they both use the same preposition, epi, epi, and then the word, epi, and then the word. And the reason he does that is to strengthen the word that he's going to use. And so when he says forget, he puts the preposition to it or the prefix to it, and it strengthens it even more. And so the word for forgetting means not just to forget, but to blow it into oblivion out of your mind, literally, to obliterate whatever is in your mind from the past. Just obliterate it. And then straining means to lean into the tape, to not be denied. I'm going to finish this, and I'm going to finish strong. So forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. Don't look back. Don't look back. Some of you will remember in the 1980s, the movie Chariots of Fire. Anyone see Chariots of Fire? It was the story of a missionary by the name of Eric Liddell, who loved to run. And so he ran in the 1924 Olympics in Paris. In the story, he had a co-runner who was in a race, and he lost the race. He lost the race. He didn't win. And so his coach showed him a photo of the finish. And in the photo, he lost because he took his eye off the goal and he looked to the side at the other runners. And as he turned to look, the other guy was leaning into the tape and won the race. The cardinal rule of running is this: don't look back. Don't look back. To run well, you've got to focus on the finish. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tells us to strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Talking about getting rid of some things so that you can focus on the finish. Sin. Obvious what sin is, right? Sin is anything that breaks the law of God, the commands of God. We call that sin. Greed, envy, sloth, lust, anger, gluttony, pride, the seven deadly sins, those things are obvious. Those are the works of the flesh. Those are sins. We are to get rid of those because that easily trips us up in our race. But not as obvious is a weight. A weight is maybe sin, but maybe it's not. In fact, a weight can be something that's good, but something good can often become enemy of the best, right? It might be a priority, or it might be a pattern that keeps you from full devotion to God's purposes. You know, one of the things that I see and I'm concerned about in the current American church context, church culture, is what technology has done to church attendance. Now, there's some blessings to technology. Obviously, we're all enjoying that these days. But do you know more and more people don't physically come to church because they can watch it on TV? Now, again, that's a blessing. We do that. It helps us to reach more and more people. But we have hundreds of people now who choose not to come to church because they can sit in their jammies, drink a cup of coffee, and watch it on TV. Now, listen, I'm okay with that. If you want to come in your jammies and drink coffee and listen to me, I'm great. But there's something about physically coming together that the Bible promotes, so that we can encourage one another. It's not just about you being encouraged. Hopefully the people watching the television can get encouraged. Hopefully they are, but they're not much of an encouragement to us right now, are they? Because they're not physically present with us. Let's encourage one another. Let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some are in the habit of doing. I know more and more people who on church days, church services are not here because they have their kids in soccer or band practice or whatever. Now, is that a bad thing? Well, it's a good thing to get your kids involved in this or that. But the good can become an impediment to the best if they're never in church. I mean, come on. You know, so sometimes those patterns and those priorities get a little bit mixed up, and it keeps us from the best things, God's best. Or here's another one. Here's another weight, I think, that can entangle us as we run the race. How about the afterglow of past achievements that we won't let go of? I think if I, as a pastor, have a worry right now for us as a church, is the fact that we're now in a season of transition. We have some new pastors that have come on board, and we have some wonderful pastors that have retired or have gone to the mission field, and so we're going to do things a little differently by nature of their gifting and their calling, and just because things change and things need to change from time to time. But if you go, oh man, I liked it better when we used to do this or used to do that, you know, and you glorify that rather than appreciate it but move forward into what God now has for us, we're going to be in trouble. There was a day, and I've heard some of you talk about this, not in this service. The next service is really bad about this kind of stuff. Yeah, they remember the good old days of the singing Christmas tree. Well, that was good back in the 1840s. Let it go. You know, and I use music because that's really such a stylistic part of who we are, right? Our music, it's kind of our thumbprint, our calling card to the community. Well, but you know what? Things will change musically here. We're going to try to honor the past. We're not going to just, you know, we're not going to be doing hard rock and, you know, for worship or stuff like that. Not this week anyway. Maybe next week we'll introduce that. Heavy metal music. No, but things change. And so we have to learn to embrace what God is doing now, rather than hang on to the point where it becomes an impediment, a weight that keeps us from running strong in the race that God has set before us. Or here's another one. How about a hurt? How about a hurt that you have from the past? I was just talking to a guy this week who got hurt over something that happened in the church by one of the pastors. And he won't go to church anymore. Not in this church, a different church, because no one ever does that here. I never hurt anyone. But in this church, this guy got upset with one of the pastors, and he won't go to church, even though his wife is on the board of that church. That's got to be awkward, you know, Sunday afternoon conversations. Like, yeah, so there's a hurt that's holding him from running his race. Or how about guilt, something that you did at one point, the sin that you fell into, that you just it just binds you, and it keeps you from running strong, the race that God has set before you. Let me ask you this. What is the weight? I want you to analyze this, right? What is that weight? Maybe it's something good that's keeping you from the best. Or what is the sin? Is there a sin, a pattern in your life that's keeping you from running the race that God has set before you? Listen, finishing well, running strong and finishing well requires this ruthless forgetting and focusing. Ruthlessly obliterating what's in the past, sending it into oblivion, and focusing on what's ahead. We've got to do that if we're going to run strong and finish well. So don't look back. Here's the third tip. Train with champions. Train with champions. Who are you training with? Who is speaking into your life? What is their influence on your race? Paul sees influences, both good and bad, in verses 15 through 19 of chapter 3 of Philippians. Let me read it to you. He says, all of us who are mature should take such a view. And if on some point you don't, if on some point you think differently, God will make that clear to you too. I love that. If you don't agree with me, just hang on. God's going to convince you that I'm right. No, Paul said about that. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. Follow my example and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I've often told you before, and now say it again, even with tears, many live as the enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. In other words, their chief concern is not spiritual fitness. They're concerned about what they want, what they like. Their concern is not spiritual fitness. So Paul is saying, avoid them. Don't be mean to them. Don't hate them, but avoid their influence. Limit their influence in your life. Rather, get spiritual champions to model and to motivate you to run your race well. Get spiritual champions. Back to Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 7 says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Therein, that great cloud of witnesses, as he says, the writer says in Hebrews 12:1, or as the message says, veterans who are cheering you on. Who are those people in your life? Who are those people in your life? Imitate their way of faith. Another sports analogy, back in the 1970s, famous coach by the name of Don Shula became the coach of the Miami Dolphins. And he took over a team that wasn't very good, and so he began to show them game film of the NFL champion Baltimore Colts. And so the players watched the game film, and what they saw was that the Colts players were executing their plays precisely, and they were encouraging each other between the plays. They would help each other up. They would pat each other on the back after the plays, or wherever football players pat each other. They would cheer them on, right? And so Don Shula challenged the Dolphins to imitate the Colts during the plays and in between the plays after the whistle. He said, do what they do. He said, that's how you become champions. And sure enough, the Miami Dolphins did. The 1972 Miami Dolphins are the last NFL team to go undefeated in a season. And in 1973, they won the Super Bowl. They were champions. Who were your champions? Who are the champions of the faith for you? You know, I happen to think that church is a really great place to find champions, spiritual champions. And this church is no exception. This church has them. And I would say to you that I'll speak on their behalf. They wouldn't mind. They wouldn't mind if you started hanging out with them. They wouldn't mind at all. You might want to talk to them first so they don't think you're stalking them or something like that. But listen, if you're engaged at all in this church, if you're observant at all, you will know what I'm talking about. You think of people right now that are champions of the faith. Spend time with them. Talk to them. Say, would you mind pouring into my life? You know, offer to buy them coffee once a month or take them out to lunch, you know, every couple of months or so, or do something and just say, tell me how you do this. Go and ask them questions. How do you do this? How did you manage this? You know, what is the secret to your spiritual life? How do you pray? How do you witness? How do you serve like you do in this church? I mean, there's some great champions in Portland Christian Center. Hang out with them. Shoot, I would be happy to pour my life into you. Take me out to Ruth's Chris once a month and eating steak just loosens me up. You know, I'll just start talking. Find spiritual champions. Get them on your fitness team. Spiritual veterans of running the race. Get them in your grandstand to cheer you on as you run your race. Listen, I'm telling you, you're going to need that. To run strong, endure in the race, and finish well, you need that. So do I in our lives. And then here is the fourth training tip, final one we'll mention today. Here it is. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the prize. Back to Philippians 3, verses 20 through 21 says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, Jesus, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. That's the prize. God designed us to be motivated by prizes. You know, we kind of downplay that, right? Oh, no, I'm just, you're so humble, I'm just doing it for somebody else, right? Well, God created us to be motivated by prizes. And so I don't think there's anything wrong at all with envisioning the prize at the finish line. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 25 and 26, Paul says, an athlete goes to all this trouble just to win the prize. But we do so for a heavenly reward that never disappears. Athletes train to receive something. We do it for something even better. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. Now, the problem with earthly rewards is they don't last, right? Some of you won some awards probably at earlier parts of your life, in school or on sports team. And you can fill your trophy case with your earthly rewards. But so what? So what? At the end of the day, so what? You guys all know James Dobson, who started Focus on the Family. He was talking about when he was in college, his goal in college was to be a great tennis player. And he earned a trophy that was put in the college trophy case to prove it, that he did. He reached that goal. He said about 20 years later, somebody sent him that trophy. They had gone out to the back and they found it in the trash can with his name on it. So they pulled it out and they sent it to him. I hate to break the news to you, but somebody's going to trash your trophies.
Yeah, that's good.
Somebody's going to trash your trophies in this life. In high school, I had a record for the long jump in my school. It was on the gymnasium wall. My name was up there. Guess what? That gym doesn't exist anymore. Someone trashed my trophy, for crying out loud. Someone's going to trash your trophy in this life. Listen, you are in the race of your life. If you're to run strong and finish well, you will need the eternal motivation of a prize that can't get trashed. Yeah, that's good. So if you want to know that runner's high, the joy of the Lord that is your strength, the joy of winning the greatest race of all, then you've got to fix your eyes on Jesus and go for the goal.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.